Hello and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts from the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and on this edition of the Conversation, I'm chatting with Ashley Shiflett, training and exercise specialist with the Department of Emergency Management and Security, or DEMS, as you may hear us refer to it during the conversation. And Ashley is here with us today to talk about National Preparedness Month, recognized yearly in September, as well as basic emergency preparedness information. Ashley, first of all, thanks for being on the podcast with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the conversation about National Preparedness Month and emergency preparedness. And as I said, a timely topic since we are talking in the month of September, which is National Preparedness Month. Why is September National Preparedness Month?
So September is National Preparedness Month because as a nation, we recognize the need to really encourage preparedness at home and really just get the information out there. And so it's back to school. There's a lot of events that happen at the end of the summer and the beginning of the fall. So it's just a really great time to really remind folks of all of the things that they should be prepared for.
And I know a lot of times when you have special recognition months or those kind of things, there's like a theme or messages you're trying to promote. I'm assuming that's the same thing this year.
It is, yes. So this year's theme is Preparedness Starts at Home. So really looking at how people can prepare their households and their families for any emergency or disaster that may occur.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit more about that. Why is home the first place to start as opposed to your office or your car or something like that?
Yeah, so home or your car, both great places to start. But your house is really important because it's not just you. For most households, you might have children, you might have elderly loved ones that live with you, you might have pets. And so just making sure that you're prepared for everyone that lives in your house or in your household and thinking about those special needs. If you have a baby and maybe you need formula or diapers, if you have pets and you need pet food, you know, poop bags, leashes, things like that, is really important. So for me, I have no kids, but I do have two dogs. And so that's really important in my household preparedness kit.
Right.
Is each of my dogs have a little bag with their name on it, and it has just the basics they need. Some water bottles, you know, food, of course, treats. You can't go anywhere without treats with dogs. So that I know that my preparedness kit is catered to my house. The other thing for me is I commute in. So I spend a lot of time in my car. So I have a car preparedness kit too. So thinking about those things that are just different in your household that might be, you know, different from your neighbors or your loved ones' households and really customizing it to make sure that it's not a one size fits all for preparedness kits, right? So just really highlighting some of those things.
We'll dive into like specifics for consideration for like pets or older adults or babies, special needs, a couple of things you mentioned. What are like the basics everybody should have in a household emergency preparedness kit?
So the basics would be definitely some non-perishable foods. You can now
is that like canned items?
Yeah, you can get some canned items. Just remember, if you have cans, you need a can opener.
A manual can opener.
Yes, a manual can opener. Yeah. I keep a crank flashlight in my kit. You never know. I have, you know, my car, I have a battery jump starter just in case, an air inflator for my tires. So definitely water, food, batteries, keep some batteries in it. And then also swapping it out for the season. So in the winter, keeping a warm set of clothing in your kit, but in the summer, keeping a cooler set of clothing in your kit as well. And then one of the big things that we don't think about is cash. We live in kind of a cashless society
now.
Yeah,
never carry cash.
But if the power goes out, you can't use a credit card or a debit card. So making sure you have a little bit of cash if you just needed to get a couple of things.
Yeah. Guess I'd be out of luck because, like I said, I don't carry cash. I got to start getting into the habit of maybe putting some in my wallet just
in
case.
Yeah, I don't carry it either, but I put a little bit in my kit and then I know I'm good. Okay. I'm not going to accidentally spend it.
That's, you know, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. It's in your kit. I mean, you know where your kit is in case you need it. Okay. Some of the other important things to include in your emergency preparedness kit, you mentioned non-perishable food, water, like a battery, crank-powered radio, flashlight.
Yeah, so I have a crank-powered radio in my car kit, but I also have a first aid kit is good.
Mm.
And then some little travel hygiene products. You just never know when you're really going to want to brush your teeth. So those are definitely good. Again, I keep a change of clothes in my kit. Mm. I always keep extra snacks on top of the perishable item or non-perishable items, rather. But something that one of our fellow colleagues in DIMS says and he recommends is keep milk bones in your kit because they're completely safe for people to eat, but you're never going to eat a milk bone unless you absolutely have to.
Mm.
Whereas if you put a Snickers bar or something in your kit, right. you're going to eat that like day one.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a fun nugget that I've taken away from one of my colleagues that you're not going to eat your milk bone until you really have to, but it's totally safe to eat. And it'll give you the nutrition you need.
Wow. So that's a good tip. I didn't know that. Didn't think about that either. Talking about food and water, how much food and water storage is actually realistic for most people versus what the recommendations are for food and water? And tell me what the recommendations are for, like, water specifically.
Yeah, so they recommend that you do keep enough to get through 48 to 72 hours. If you're talking about a kit for your house, that's going to be a little bit more because you might want like a gallon jug of water to kind of shower if you can.
Sponge bath, if you will.
Yes. I try to keep at least one case of water at home at all times.
Mm.
And then I just usually throw 3 or 4 bottles of water in my car preparedness kit. And then for my pets, I keep 2 bottles of water in each of their kits. You don't have to keep a ton in your portable kit, but I would recommend at least keeping a case of water at home just in case.
Yeah. Well, because you don't really think about it. You think of water as for drinking, but you also need it for sanitation, cleaning up, maybe even food prep in some ways. I mean, there's a lot of things you need water for, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they make some really good, food packets now. And all you have to do is put a little bit of water into it, and it automatically heats up with the water.
Mm-hmm.
So also thinking about that as your non-perishable food source may rely on water as well.
Okay. So we've kind of touched upon the basics for an emergency supply kit, and we're talking primarily the home preparedness kit. But before we move away from that into the specialized considerations, it's also important, if you can, to, as you indicated, have a kit for your car as well as how about your place of work?
Yes. So, if you can have a kit for both your car and your office, that's great. If you can only have one, I know they can be pretty pricey to make your own preparedness kit. So, what I actually do is mine is in a backpack in my car.
Oh.
So, I can take it into the office if I need it. And it does have, you know, 2 days worth of my medications, anything like that, so that if I needed to have it at work, it's also right there in my trunk and I can just, you know, throw it over my shoulder and take it in. And I think that works pretty well, especially when you do think about the cost factor to making a kit sometimes.
Yeah. Trudge through the snow if you're snowed in at work and go pull it out of the trunk before the snow gets too piled high.
Yes. And while I don't have a traditional preparedness kit in my office, I think all my colleagues will tell you I'm well stocked on snacks.
Oh, you're the favorite of the office.
So I'll never go hungry at work.
Yeah. Well, neither will your friends that are there with you, I'm sure, especially if they know where your candy snatch is.
Yeah, some people have found it, yes.
Oh, okay. One thing you mentioned, interesting, medications. And that's really where it kind of gets into the cost and planning, if you will, because you have to think about, well, you know, these are the medicines I take once a day, maybe twice a day, and I only get like a month worth of supply when I go. So how do you justify that, or how do you plan that, taking 2 to 4 of those pills out of your supply and putting it somewhere?
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of times your pharmacy will let you refill your prescription a week early on a one-time kind of basis, if you're going on vacation or something like that. So what I've done is I got a prescription filled a week early so that I knew I had a couple extra.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them in, I have a pill organizer for my medications. And what I do is when I go on vacation, I actually pull it from there so that I can recycle them so they don't expire too.
Okay.
And then I just swap it out for a fresh, you know, 7-day pill organizer. And so that has worked pretty well for me. So I just always make sure that I have a full week's worth of medication in there, and I just cycle it out pretty regularly. So that's what I would recommend. Yeah. But I'm sure that other people have their preferences and their systems too. Yeah.
So you, this extra supply you keep, is that actually in your emergency preparedness bag?
Or? It is.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I would think, at least I, knowing myself, I would, out of sight, out of mind, I wouldn't think about it till it's like 6 months later and I might need it or something. And then, you know, is the medicine still good at that point?
It has happened to me every now and then, but I will say having it, especially in my car kit, has helped me. I take medicine for sleep, so sometimes I'll go visit my parents or something, and I forget to pack something, and it has really come in handy.
Oh, okay. Interesting. We are on the County Conversation Podcast talking with Ashley Shiflett. She is the Training and Exercise Specialist with DEMS, the Fairfax County Department of Emergency Management and Security. We're talking about National Preparedness Month, as well as the importance of emergency preparedness. Before we get back into the emergency kits for special considerations for different populations and those kind of things, training and exercise specialist not only is important for residents to be prepared for emergencies, but that's kind of what you do in your job with DEMS, is getting the county agencies prepared. Talk to me a little bit about training and exercises.
So one of the big things that the training and exercise team at DEMS does is we organize trainings and exercises with multiple county agencies. DEMS oversees our Emergency Operations Center, or our EOC, as we refer to it. And so we do a lot of getting our partners in who traditionally don't do emergency management every day and making sure that we're all on the same page, or our skills aren't getting rusty. Right. But then we also do trainings, both in person, virtual. And recently we've started rolling out some e-learnings. We have some that are catered more towards county employees, some like our emergency operations plan, things like that. But then we've also made a couple that are on our public-facing website for our residents. And so things like introduction to preparedness, the 5-step neighborhood preparedness guide that our office has created. We have one for houses of worship. And I know I'm leaving one out, but we've got a couple on our public-facing website, just really to get folks thinking about some of the things that they might want to keep in mind when it comes to preparedness or emergency management in their role within the county.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, one of the major publications you guys have is, we in the county government love the acronyms, the CERG, Community Emergency Response Guide, which I think is kind of like the comprehensive guide and has templates in there for planning. I mean, am I understanding that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that is what it is. It helps families and residents make their own emergency plan. Mm. It does walk them through what should be in their emergency preparedness kit. And so we've actually taken the CERG and turned it into one of our e-learnings, the Introduction to Preparedness course. They only take about an hour, but they're self-paced. The courses themselves right now are only available in English, but our Community Emergency Response Guide and all of its templates are also available in Spanish and Korean. And so those are also all linked on our public-facing website on Ready Fairfax.
And you mentioned that. That's one of the questions I always ask the guests is, you know, tell me the resource. And you mentioned Ready Fairfax. Is that
fairfaxcounty.gov/emergency.
Okay. And then fairfaxcounty.gov/emergency-management is actually the DEMS webpage.
Correct.
Which has preparedness information and other stuff like that. Okay, cool. All right, let's talk about pets for a minute, because as you well know, there are some special considerations for a pet bag.
Yes, yes. So I have two dogs. Anyone who knows me will tell you they're basically my children.
Yeah.
So they're definitely a consideration in my household. I do have pet preparedness kits for them. They have collapsible food and water bowls, a couple bottles of water, usually roughly four days worth of food. And then a bag of treats, a spare leash, and a spare roll of poop bags for them.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of the essentials that I would need to get them through a couple of days if we had to leave our house for whatever reason until I could get out and kind of replenish.
Yeah. What about, like dog tags, vaccination is the right word, or like medical records, that kind of thing?
Yes. So I have a printed out copy of our dog's medical records, their vaccine records. And then they do have their tags on their collar that lets them know how to get in touch with me if need be, and their name. And of course, they've got their rabies tag on there.
Okay.
As far as that, I mean, our dogs are pretty low maintenance. They don't have a lot of, like, they don't take any medications. But we do have a card in each of their preparedness kit bags that does have their vet's information, their name, how much they get fed, for when they get fed for each meal. If for some reason, you know, we did have an emergency that resulted in us having to temporarily put them in a shelter or board them, all of that information would be right there.
And how about pet crates or pet carriers? Is that important for either dogs or cats?
It is. It definitely depends also how your pet is trained. We do have crates, portable crates for our dogs. One of our dogs is 120 pounds, so he's pretty hard to carry around in anything. But definitely we have the hammock in our car to make sure that we can easily get them in and go. If we needed to take them anywhere, they're pretty used to riding in the car, so that's a plus for us that we wouldn't have a lot of issues getting them in. But our other dog, he's only 20 pounds. So he's pretty easy. We've got a portable crate again. We can just kind of zip him up and put him in a crate and carry him if we needed to.
Put him on the back of the big dog.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about two different ends of the age spectrum, babies and older adults. Start with babies for consideration there.
So if your baby or toddler uses formula, even if they don't use formula, it's always just good to have in there just in case, because you never know when you're going to need an extra food source if you're having an emergency. Diapers, definitely for babies. A couple of, again, just like any child, dog, or pets, toys. You need toys for them. Keep them entertained. Yeah. If you have children who are a little bit older than babies, sometimes, you know, having a mobile charger so that you can plug in and give them some screen time to keep them calm during an emergency is good. If you have pacifiers, things like that, that your baby relies on to help them sleep, comfort items, that's also good. And just then again, making sure you have appropriate weather clothing for them.
Right. And enough of it too.
Yes.
Kids seem to get dirty.
Yeah,
no
babies
matter where
go through a lot of clothes.
Yeah. All right. Older adults. I are one of those now. So considerations for us in this 50 plus, 60 plus population.
So again, we hit on medications. That's definitely really important. I know a lot of older adults really rely on medication. If you have any durable medical equipment, I would highly recommend a battery pack or a mobile charger. So you can get them on Amazon. It's a surge protector with a battery backup. And it, depending on how fancy you want to get, you can go up to, I think, 6 to 8 hours for battery. So if you have a CPAP machine that you rely on overnight, that would be a good idea to make sure that you could run that, for example. The other big thing that I would call out really for any household, if you have elderly baby pets, maybe you have someone with access and functional needs, and you live in Fairfax County, is Community Connect. It's a resource where you can sign up and put in your household's special information or specific information. So that if you ever needed to call 911, the fire department, the police department can see it only after they're called to your house. But that way they know what they're going to expect. So if you have someone maybe with autism in your household, it's good you can put that in there and they know, okay, hey, this is a special consideration for this household. Or for me, I have two dogs, and they can say, okay, well, if that house is on fire, we need to go in and look for two dogs kind of thing like that. So I would say that's also a really good resource for county residents.
Okay. And I assume you can find it, just search Community Connect on fairfaxcounty.gov.
Yes. And you can also find it on our Ready Fairfax page.
Oh, okay. And speaking of that, I was going to talk about social media real quickly before we run out of time. Ready Fairfax on all your socials. And what are your socials? Are you everywhere?
Yes, we are pretty much everywhere. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram. I believe we're on Nextdoor now. And so you can find us at Ready Fairfax on any of those kind of commonly used social media platforms.
Okay. I'm trying to squeeze in as many questions as I can. One thing that popped in my mind, when planning for disasters, what do you see the biggest mistake people make is when trying to think
definitely
about it?
Definitely waiting until the last minute. We mentioned that preparedness kits can be cost prohibitive. So if you wait to the last minute, I call them, you know, the toilet paper bandits that we saw during COVID, right? People have already come to clear the shelves or prices are inflated. And so just planning ahead of time, if cost is a factor for a preparedness kit, just buying a couple of things here and there to build your kit. You don't need to do it all at once. Right. But waiting till the last minute will kind of get you into that panic time frame.
So as we land the plane here, as they say, remind us again what the theme of National Preparedness Month is and anything I haven't asked you about that you want to make sure you tell us, or just final thoughts for our listeners about National Preparedness Month or emergency preparedness.
So the theme this month is Preparedness Starts at Home. And I would really just leave that final thought of think about your household, any special considerations you have in your household, and what the members of your house and family might need to be prepared. If that looks different than just kind of your standard preparedness kit, or if there are any additional items you would want to include in it.
Okay. All right. So again, for more information, folks can just go to Ready Fairfax and fairfaxcounty.gov/emergency, or to learn more about DEMS specifically, fairfaxcounty.gov/emergency management. Ashley, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That is going to do it for the time we have today on this edition of the County Conversation Podcast. Thanks again to Ashley for being here. Thanks to you for listening. To hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, as well as our podcast webpage. That's fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.